Blog Talk Radio.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got that string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I've got a song that I sing, I can make a...
Welcome, America, to Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. We are having a whole list of programs this week having to do with Hollywood and the past and hopefully the future. And today we're going to have a special insider, someone who's known the history of Hollywood for a long time. She's a former Hollywood reporter, and now she moved and escaped and went to Texas. But that's Meryl Hope. Meryl, are you there?
I am here, Lucy, and I'm happy to be here with you today.
Thank you. Well, this is going to be a Breaking News Journal's Hollywood Week because we have so many guests that are producers, actors, and directors that are going to be filling up this week's programs. And we're going to talk a lot about what you know about Hollywood, how you got into it, and what do you think is turning Hollywood for the worst, and what can we do about it. So let's get started.
Oh, my. That's a tall order.
It's a tall order. Let's do one at a time. How did you get into Hollywood, in the Hollywood business, and then talk about the Hollywood Reporter and how you became a part of that?
When I was in college, all I ever wanted to do was write, and I went to UCLA. But
okay.
I learned at the time that the universe is a funny place. If you don't tell God specifically what you want, you end up writing publicity materials. And essentially, that's what happened. I literally had an opportunity to write for a PR firm. And that was my entree in. And I wrote publicity materials for a very long time before I ever did publicity, and then did it freelancing at different firms for quite a number of years until ultimately I knew enough people in comedy that I was told by someone who's a very big entertainment publicist, Marlea Leslie, I think they need somebody to cover this at the Hollywood Reporter, and that's how I got there.
Wow, that was interesting. You know that's how Hollywood works anyway. It's like somebody knows somebody and, you know, they'll hook you up, or there's going to be a party and, you know, you might want to meet this person or something like that. So it happens a lot, but it seems like that you went through a lot of different places. I mean, what kind of comedy did you cover?
I covered stand-up comics, and I also had a column for about a year in a publication that you now know as Backstage West, but it used to be called Dramalogue.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't really interested in reviewing comics. I was interested in their process.
Okay.
So I would interview in my weekly column about their process. I was not interested in talking to Jeff Dunham's puppets. I was interested in understanding the mind that created those puppets.
Right, right.
So that's often what I did. You know, there were some really wonderful comedians along the way that I really got to learn about their craft. And I thought that was more of interest to teach or share with other people. Writing for The Hollywood Reporter was different. I was reporting on, you know, there were special issues where I covered comedy festivals and comedy events and comedy just for laughs in Montreal. That was a big event for many years. So it was more of a writing about the profession for insiders, because The Hollywood Reporter was not a public. You know, it was basically a trade publication.
Yes. For all those in Hollywood. So let me ask you a question. On the inside, young people who want to get into the writing business and in Hollywood or whatever, what would you recommend, especially these days? It may be a little different than when you first got in. What do you recommend for them now? And tell us what happens on the inside.
Ooh. Geez, in fairness to those young people, I mean, certainly, sometimes what you know is as important as who you know.
Right.
And I won't tell you that I got there because I was the greatest writer on earth, although I am. I got there because of who I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say one thing is, you know, that's a tough business. And I made a couple of different career choices to get married and have a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I then, you know, my role changed along the way and my interest in my role. I think when someone was young and starting out, you know, it's a matter of you have to follow your passion. You have to know what you want to write, you know, that if you want to write, that you can write. That would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to, you know, start investigating and getting to know people in that area, that mm-hmm. work in that area. Like, I started out by hanging out in the comedy club.
Oh, okay.
And then had an opportunity. And, you know, it's a funny thing. When you open a door and you walk through it, it's amazing the things that come to you.
Absolutely.
But it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You know that.
Yes, I do. How many years were you in the business?
Well, I started after college in the 80s, and I kind of worked quite a bit in entertainment because I also did entertainment media and entertainment media relations and PR as a freelancer to friends of mine who have firms once I got married and had a child.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would say it's in the past couple of years, the focus shifted because I was raising my son, and I didn't do as much. I did different stuff. I was doing more education media. I was shifting a different direction, which ironically, as you well know, everything I ever did in entertainment that made no sense to me half the time is what led to me calling you today from Austin, Texas.
You're in Austin.
I was at a very important press conference because they down here are fighting the Common Core, but they call it
yes.
C-Scope here.
Yes.
And you may have heard it was banned, vanished, and, you know, thrown in the gutter by Governor Perry, and somehow mm-hmm. it still resurfaces. One of the great opportunities is that once I left California, I've never been busier having a writing career. which I find truly amazing because I'm working with a lot of incredible grassroots people regarding this C-Scope Common Core. And today's press conference, which involved Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst
mm-hmm.
and Representative Steve Toth and Alice Linehan of Women mm-hmm. on the Wall,
yes.
was all about the Llano County School District, parents in Llano County School District, they went to a judge and they filed an injunction based upon some of the faulty legalese in the C-Scope so that mm-hmm. there's a temporary restraining order against this county
mm-hmm.
using the curriculum. So, interestingly, where I started, because all I ever wanted to do was write,
mm-hmm.
but I never said what about. So the one thing I'm telling this person is, be clear. Be real clear because it's a tough business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to have a certain personality to be able to survive it.
You mean like tough skin?
Even more than tough skin.
Rejection?
Rejection. But the rejection isn't as hard as the, you know, the fact that people, I'll give you a classic example. When I was in the height of working as a reporter, I noticed an unusual amount of guys would hit on me. I thought it was because I was attractive. And then one day it dawned on me, it had nothing to do with me. They wanted me to write about them.
Oh, you're kidding. you mean they would stoop that low to be written about?
But that's part of life. It still comes
How
down
arrogant.
To who you know. Well, it's, you know, it's something that goes part and parcel with that industry.
Yeah.
But then again, I can't say it's that industry. It's life. And I think for me, and I was always a little on the naive side, I didn't see people the way people saw people. So you have to have a real tough skin to do that sort of stuff.
Yes, yes. Okay. So I wanted to ask you specifically because of this Common Core, the Common Core thing that we're all working on. It doesn't matter what genre of business that you're in, your children, if you have children or grandchildren or whatever, you're going to be affected buy this if your kids are going to any school that accepts any kind of government funds or any kind of private school or whatever. This is a whole agenda to totally destroy the human the family structure, and anybody that has any relationship with God or anything like that, they want to totally destroy and dumb down. And this is something all of us are scrambling to get a hold of, because it's just coming to our attention recently. For me, it's only been like about four months or so. But for a lot of other people that have been working on it years prior, there's UNESCO involved and all these other things, and they are going to totally destroy the minds of your children. And so we're really trying to take care of that. So I wanted to ask you, in relation to that, what will happen to the kids in Hollywood, or should I say in the entertainment industry? How are they going to be educated? Because I know when I was on the set, you know, they would have educators come on and teach every once in a while to the children. What will happen now?
That's a good question for children in California, because if every mode of education, from private tutors to homeschool, which is that essentially what a tutor is, mm-hmm. to public school, to parochial school, to you name it school, is adopting the Common Core, well, what do you think it's going to net? It's going to net a different educational system than those of us who learned under the old guise of American exceptionalism.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the parents will accept that because their children are maybe acting or something in Hollywood, so they'd be more accessible? Because, you know, we know all about stage moms and stuff like that, stage moms and dads and people mm-hmm. like that manage their children's their business and stuff like that. Do you think you have a feel of from what you've experienced with parents before in the Hollywood business, if you ever did that when you were working on comedy, that they would have any kind of sense to say, hey, I'm not going to let my child be educated in this form or fashion? Because it seems like a lot of the parents will allow anything to happen as long as their children are going to get a paycheck and they're going to get something from it. So,
right. It comes down to how they understand it. I had an issue with this. I have an issue with faulty information, inaccurate history,
mm-hmm.
and fuzzy math.
Mm-hmm.
I have an issue with it as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
What if they don't? What if they don't? What if their education was as such that they didn't have the kind of education you or I had? You know, I said this to you before privately, that I show up to the card game with a poker deck. You show up with a pinochle deck. We ain't playing. This is what the problem is the
uh-huh.
kids today, if the parent has the kind of education we have, they might see a little differently. What are you learning here?
Uh-huh.
I have to, you know, I don't know. I mean, there are certainly, people are real quick to categorize, and let me say mischaracterize. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a false narrative that this is a conservative issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is an American issue.
It sure
this is.
This
is not right. This is not left. This is an American issue. And the lessons in the Common Core, or down here the C-scope, it's the same thing. We call it the cousin or the stepsister. But it's
mm-hmm.
the same thing, are teaching different values and lessons than what we learned.
Absolutely, and whether it's conservative or not, if whatever values you're teaching your children, you want that to be seen or perceived by your children or expressed by your children, not somebody else coming in telling you that you can't, that your children can't learn from you, or telling your children or pitting your children against you as a parent. That's absolutely disgusting and appalling, in my opinion.
You know, my experience in California was nobody cared. Nobody wanted to hear this. Nobody saw a problem. With just parents. I'm going to talk about celebrity families because, you know,
right.
there's so many celebrity families starting their own schools. I wouldn't put my kid in their school because they're teaching different values. My
mm-hmm.
child doesn't belong to the state.
Mm-hmm.
No one's mm-hmm. child belongs to the state. But on the other hand, that's a different way of looking at educating children versus a being parent-oriented
mm-hmm.
and parent-centric, being responsible for certain things versus federal
mm-hmm.
responsibility.
How did your children how did your children accept you being in the entertainment industry? Did they see things that might that they didn't like, and how are they doing, and what did you what were you able to do to protect your children?
Well, fortunately for my son, he never saw any of it because he was born after I stopped working with a lot of the Hollywood stuff. But he
mm-hmm.
saw, I did a lot of events. I have to say, I've done a lot of events over the years, entertainment industry events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was a little too young to understand all this. He's
mm-hmm.
not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a different picture for me. I mean, there are also, I must say, just to change the subject for a moment, there are many delightful moments in my career. When I was first starting out, I had to cover a major event in Palm Springs with
okay.
Mr. Sinatra. Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Sinatra was opening a wing for a new hospital at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be there and cover it. And I had to take, my job was to take items. You know, people used to do things called items because you didn't just post things to the internet. You had to give it to the reporter of the society column.
Oh.
And this is my first business trip, and I think, oh, my God, I'm in the entertainment industry, and I'm dressed to the nines with the heels that eventually were the reason I had to have foot surgery.
Oh, God.
Well, here I am in Mr. Sinatra's suite, and he's not happy, and let's just say he threw a plate or two.
Oh,
my boss looks at me and says, you clean it up. I'm thinking this is real glamour. This, and that's the thing that people need to understand. It's glamorous for those looking in. It's work. It's a career. It's a whole different thing from the inside.
Wow.
And it can feel like work at times. So he tells me to clean up the room, and everybody goes trotting off into the main dining room, and I must have had the longest face on earth because I was maybe 21 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this couple walks over to me and says, oh, excuse me, sweetie, can we help you clean up? And I'm like, you know, I'm just so feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah.
So it took me a few minutes to realize who the couple were. This couple who helped me clean up the Sinatra suite were Gerald and Betty Ford.
Wow.
This is right after he stopped being president. It's like, oh, my God. it has its moments of really wonderful things where you meet incredible people who
mm-hmm.
really are the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, as someone who wanted to be in that industry, there's a lot of people who are just going to be very, it's all about me, and it's not going to be about you, and you can be part of it if it's all about me. And
mm-hmm.
Having the savvy to know how to work with that. But I will tell you, politics was my strong suit. I was more about truth and the material.
Right,
and the,
right.
You know, it's a different kind of a personality, and I think you need to get a good reality check on what your personality is. Because a certain personality, I think you would agree with me, will fare better than someone who's wondering, am I doing right by my fellow man type?
Well, you know what? I would have been fired. The minute that they asked me to clean it up, I would have said, clean it up yourself. You know, and so I probably
yes,
I wouldn't
see,
have lasted too long.
Once upon a time ago when the boss said jump, you said how high.
Oh, God. Oh, so see, I mean, you know, and a lot of people have that personality in that business. And I think that's the reason why I had, had to start my own things as far as, you know, production and stuff. Even though I was a coordinating producer, I mean, I had a lot of control and everything. But, you know, when you have someone someplace where you're getting paid the kind of money that you're getting paid and they want you to jump and as high as they want you to jump, and they know that people would do that in that industry. They know that people, if you told somebody to jump off the mountain, they'll say, okay, I don't know if I have a parachute or not, but I'll jump. And that's what, you know, is. I think that I don't know if that's going to ever change. The only way that that's going to change
right.
in Hollywood is if people start all together, start saying, you know what, you're not going to disrespect me. If you want me to do the job, I'll do the job. But other than that, you're not going to disrespect me. But these people will gobble it up. They will do almost anything. They will sell their mother or anything else to have a job almost like what you had in Hollywood.
Right. And that's why I sit back and when you say, how would they handle the Common Core? Gee, I don't know. They're functioning from a different moral compass than I am.
That's true. That's why I wanted to ask you because to me they think so differently than normal people. You know, that four square miles of in Hollywood. You know, they think kind of really differently sometimes. And so I wanted to get your opinion on that, because parents need to realize their kids could be actually become very vulnerable to what's getting ready to happen to them. And maybe acting as a child and stuff like that in the industry is probably what Common Core and them wanted, you know, out of children. I have no idea. And that's why I wanted to ask about it, because, you know, as we're working on this stuff, Meryl, you're out there today in Austin. You know, as we're working on all these kinds of things, we've got to be able to have some kinds of answers for almost every type of situation, every child is in almost every kind of situation. So with that, I wanted to ask you, what happened in Austin, and is anything going to get done based on what you guys did today?
Well, today what happened, as I was saying earlier, was there was an injunction, temporary restraining order, so to speak, put on C-Sculpt, a.k.a. the Common Core, in this one school district. It's all going to be heard on Friday, both sides of the story. And the attorney is confident that based upon the legislation that is faulty and improper, that their mindset is, and the actual law, which it's a particular Senate bill, that they will prevail. Now, what does that mean? Well, this could be huge. This could then change the game. In Texas, they have been fighting the Common Core like nobody's business. They
mm-hmm.
are heroes down here. They're absolute heroes.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody's trying to get, they know if they can make Texas fall, then everything else is pretty much going to crumble. That's what's in their mind. They want to make a big state like Texas completely collapse when it comes to education or either having any kind of control. They want to take that Lone Star State status away from them.
Well, you know, I have to say, I'm not political, but I do
Me either.
Very, very amused and very impressed by how the legislators do feel differently than, mm-hmm. like, those that used to represent me in California,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, where it's obviously a different mindset they're at. Now,
mm-hmm.
I know how those who are pro-Common Core like to marginalize this perspective,
mm-hmm.
but until they can tell me what's wrong with education the way it was versus what they want to transform it into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they talk about collaboration, you know, you have at the computer with a kid in Finland and a kid in China, whatever happened to breaking up into groups? That was collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different mindset. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's
mm-hmm.
just got a lot of errors in it and a lot of inconsistency. And until, you know, and down here, they're of the mindset that until you can prove that, you know, to show us where we're wrong,
mm-hmm.
we're not interested otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to applaud them for that, because I know what little interest there has been in that in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
absolutely.
On the other part, when it relates to entertainment, is, again, I'm not going to tell you I'm Kirk Cameron's biggest fan.
Oh,
but
my God.
I never have been. But he has the right to make films, and he has the right to get press and do the whole thing. This absolute shutout of this poor guy that I'm reading about, this is insane.
Absolutely.
Why can't both products and both mindsets be out there? It's
mm-hmm.
You ever remember the show Highlander?
Yes.
Highlander, there could only be one, you know, in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, everybody has to kill each other or knock each other over in the aisles till there can only be one way.
Mm.
Well, that's not what, you know, in America, we agree to disagree sometimes.
Absolutely. And people need to see all sides. What they're trying to do to Kirk Cameron, though, is totally silence him in anything that he's trying to do. You know, I'm in contact with his publicity people, publicists, and stuff like that, and we're trying to get him on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio because just before he launches his new movie called Unstoppable, and I think it has to do with his personal life, this particular film, but they all the social media people, they're trying to totally stop him from being able to promote his movie, and that's why we're working to try to get him on on this program and other programs, like maybe City on the Hill, anywhere that we can get him on so that we can, Women on the Wall, anything, any place that we can so we can get as much resource information out there to him. Now, the difference between Breaking News Journal and some of the rest of them is that all the rest of them are strictly, you know, conservative and stuff like that. We have people that listen to Breaking News Journal, though, independent, liberal, and everything else. I want to get that information out there because these are for free thinkers, people that look at both sides or all sides of an issue and then make their own decision.
And I have to tell you something. I don't know if I'm from a hole in the wall. I don't care one way or the other, but he has the right.
Yes,
what
absolutely.
What I don't understand that has gone on is that the dialogue, which I will say again, I believe is a false narrative of what it is we believe and what it is we want. I tell people all the time, because if I say something, then you get misperceived as, oh, she must be really conservative. Well, tell you the truth, I don't have a political party affiliation because
I've
kind of
either.
Given up on progressives on both sides of the
aisle.
I
don't either. Exactly. Absolutely.
And for myself, you know, of course, the bad side about not being having a party is don't even ask the ballot you get of all the lunatics on there. but I like to dream that we really are the free thinkers because we're the swing vote, if that means anything anymore. And that's what I don't understand. The messages that come out of Hollywood, they've always been what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more so as time goes on. But what is the problem with the other side? Why can't you have both sides? Without it being like, oh, there's the conservative side. Ooh, shun it. It's just maybe they call it the family channel. You know, they have all kinds of interesting names for things that we would recognize, you know, with different names.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a shame to see this kind of division because something for everyone is what it really should be.
Well, I think it's despicable. I think that in the sense of people now trying to indoctrinate our children and that they've been working for this for a long, long time. It's not what the media is not what we thought it was. You know, we thought it was here so you could make a decision about something. But when you have people trying to totally program your mind and your children's minds to do a certain kind of thing, then that's a whole nother ball game, and that's why there's so many people getting into the fight now.
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know that it's programming as much as it is, we're only giving you the side of the story. You know, for all that is being preached about, let's look at history, like, for example, in the Common Core, and let's say truth is relative. So we're going to learn this one side and that one side and this one side and that one side, and I get everyone's side, but that's not what we get in our information from the news media or the entertainment industry. We get one message.
Yeah.
It's very clear what's good and what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame because if you're going to educate children that there's complete truth is relative, give me all the information to make up my mind what's relative.
Hey, Meryl, how can people get in touch with you as we wind down the program? How can people get in touch with you about Common Core? Are you a part of NatCure? You want to give the NatCure website?
You know what? I am a part of NatCure. I'm also proud to say I've been asked to be on the board of Women on the Wall.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter. A great place to reach me is on Twitter.
Okay.
And a lot of my articles, some of my articles are on SaveAmericaFoundation.com, and other articles are on in the current issue of As a Mom magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Minute Mom magazine. I have articles there. But the best place to reach me is Meryl Hope at Out of the Box Mom.
Whoa. Say that again. I like that.
My first name, Meryl Hope, at Out of the Box Mom.
That is too cute. That is too cute. I like that. Well, you know, Meryl, it was a pleasure having you on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. Do you want me to send it? I'll send all this over to you so you can share this with your fans.
Ooh, my fans. My fans actually are in a meeting right now, but they swear they're coming back.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you get into the meeting so you can check out what's going on and inform us on what's happening, okay?
Thank you so much, Ruthie.
You're more than welcome. Have a blessed one. Tell Alice I said hello and to contact me.
I will.
Talk to you later. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Come rain, come shine, I meet you and to me the world is fine. Then I kiss your lips and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar. When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed to tell you that you're marvelous, tell you that you're wonderful again, 'cause I've got you under my skin. And I love you under my skin.